This is an ABC podcast.
Second gear lines it up. The 2021 Repco Bathurst 1000 winner is Chaz Mostert.
There's something wonderfully chaotic about the Bathurst 1000. The best V8 drivers pushing themselves on Mount Panorama in an event that's historically volatile. This weekend might be even more chaotic than usual because we're adding an expected 100 millimetres plus of rain into the mix. What can we expect? It's chaos theory, Bathurst style. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Jessie Yates is the host of Fox Sports Motorsports coverage. She's covered countless Bathurst 1000s. You can hear the buzz of the cars in the background. She's buckling up for a wild weekend. Jess, first things first. This week, racing legend Dick Johnson described Bathurst as the Melbourne Cup of supercars. Why is this race so special?
Hi, Pat. It's so wonderful to be back here at Mount Panorama. You know you've arrived when you can hear and you wake up to the sound of cars buzzing around this famed circuit. And it is such a special moment in motorsport in Australia. But I think in terms of the entire Australian sporting landscape, it is a Stop the Nation Day. It is right up there with the AFL Grand Final, the NRL Grand Final, the Melbourne Cup. The Bathurst 1000 is a test of endurance, of bravery, of courage, and you just need a little bit of luck to go your way. And I think that's what makes this race so special.
And here comes Brody once again, bombs down the inside, and does he get it done? He does. A bit of hip and shoulder. They lock horns. That was a nasty moment. Percat takes advantage of that as well. That could have put some damage on the 99.
You can prepare as well as you can. You can put in all the hours, be fit. But if you don't have luck go your way over 1,000 kilometres here on one of the toughest courses in the world, it has global status, well, you can go from being hero to zero so quickly. It's a place that can reward you and, you know, you'll have your name in the history books forever, but only one person will do that at the end of the day, and you've got a whole field of drivers left crying, wondering what might have been had luck been in their lap.
You talk about the course, and I think we see it on the TV, and it just looks hectic on the box. Describe to us what it's like in real life.
Well, I think what TV doesn't do justice for this incredible racing circuit is just give you a real sense of the inclination, how steep it is up the mountain and then how steep it is coming down the mountain. And when you look at the speeds that supercars drivers get to around this circuit, it's quite incredible. You know, for many of them, they don't lift off the throttle going across the top of the mountain. You're contending blind corners as you come down. You're getting to speeds of almost 300 kilometres an hour. And you've got to do that lap after lap after lap over 1,000 kilometres here. Then you're also contending with the wildlife that live in and around this circuit, because we're in the heartland of Western New South Wales. So if you recall last year, there was an echidna that came out onto the track.
Oh, we've got a safety car.
Scrambles.
There's a safety car. Oh, and what an Australian reason for a safety car. There's an echidna.
I don't know how someone didn't hit him, but he managed to find the tiniest hole in the fence to creep through and get through unscathed. We always have the annual hello from Skippy at some point in the race. So not only are you contending with what is a really demanding and taxing circuit, but you've also got to have your wits about you around the wildlife that pop up. Also the weather, that's always a really big story, and that's certainly going to be the case here this year at Mount Panorama. The forecast is looking pretty hairy over the next 4 days.
But we are bracing for more of this rain. From tomorrow in particular, those heavy falls will redevelop.
So the impact that that has on the story, the fatigue that our drivers suffer as a consequence of how radical this circuit is, make it really incredible to watch.
You touch on the weather. We're not just adding a little bit of water this weekend, we're adding a lot. Forecasts between Wednesday midweek to the end of the race on Sunday, they were talking about a total of 115 mils total. What kind of carnage is that going to bring on this race?
Pat, there's no doubt the carnage will be immense this weekend as a consequence of the wet weather and the impact that that will have to the circuit. I think what it also does is it opens up the playing field. So those wet weather specialists in supercars who may not have been contenders coming into this weekend have certainly put their hand up. So I'm talking about guys like Will Brown, Brody Kostecki from Erebus, Andre Heimgartner from BJR, we know is really good in the wet.
He knocked everybody off in practice earlier. He beat them in the wet in qualifying. And for him to do this today, superb. Absolutely superb.
But I like the wild cards in Richie Stanaway and Greg Murthy. Richie Stanaway did a brilliant job in the wet at Sandown when he was in the championship a couple of years ago. Now, he hasn't driven a supercar since 2019. So for him to come here this weekend, I think the rain really plays into his favour. But what's interesting about the wet weather scenario is it's so mentally taxing. Our drivers have got to be almost getting ahead of the game, if you like, on Sunday, working out when they would put their co-drivers in, because I don't know that you'd necessarily want your co-driver in the car if the conditions really deteriorate. That's when you'd want your A driver in the hot seat. So trying to forecast exactly what the weather might bring and then making sure that the rhythm of your co-driving status fits in with that is going to be really tricky. The fatigue will be immense because the lap times will be slower on Sunday as a consequence of the weather, which means the race will actually be longer. So there's a lot to play out, and the weather is going to have a massive impact on who is going to be standing there on the top step come Sunday night.
As we can hear in the background, you are there, you're on the mountain. Is there a level of fear in the atmosphere for the competitors, given the sort of enormity of the course, the weather that's ramping up? It sounds like it's a particularly precarious year. What's the fear factor like?
I think there's definitely a healthy dose of fear in the field, particularly before anything started. That first session, the first practice session here on the mountain, is always really telling in terms of who has immediate pace, but also who has immediate confidence. This is such a confidence racetrack. And if you don't have it, it'll cost you dearly. But I think it's safe to say that the fear factor for everyone in the field is about respect, the respect that they have for this circuit and how quickly you can come undone if you don't respect the mountain. I think by Sunday afternoon, the fear is gone and it's the adrenaline and the excitement, the nervous energy that bubbles around this circuit, and that just builds and builds as the laps tick down. So there's definitely plenty of nerves, plenty of trepidation at this point, but I think everyone is more excited to just get it underway.
You've touched on a few of the Smokies. What about the cream of the crop? What are the storylines at the elite end of the field that we should be considering?
Well, I think everyone's really excited to see Shane Van Gisbergen back in the car this weekend. You only have to cast your mind back a couple of weeks to the last round at Pukekohe Park Raceway in New Zealand. That was the farewell for that venue. We'll never race supercars there again.
New Zealand echoes to the sound of supercars one more time. ITM Auckland Super Sprint, race number two of the weekend. And away they go.
And Shane had a torrid time in the early stanza of that race weekend, just didn't have a fast enough car, was a little bit out of sorts. His rebound on Sunday was heroic.
And this is going to be a very popular victory. Shane Van Gisbergen notches up a perfect win for the second race of the ITM Auckland Super Sprint in New Zealand.
It was incredible to see him bounce back and put on the show to clean sweep that day in front of a home crowd. He is in career best form. He's got a really healthy buffer in terms of the championship, so he's on track to become a three-time supercars champion. There's no doubt about that this year. But he's teamed up with Garth Tander, who's a four-time winner here at Bathurst. He's just incredible. He's been doing everything he can to try and get up to speed ahead of this year's Bathurst 1000. So they're absolutely the team to beat. Cameron Waters.
Cam Waters is going to make it onto the podium. P2 runner-up again for the second year running.
He is hungry to go one better this year, and he teams up with James Moffat. Moffat being a really famous name here at Bathurst, of course, with his father being an incredible champion, a four-time champion of the mountain in Alan Moffat. Chaz Mostert is the defending champion.
Now all the focus, the accolades, the applause, the elation, it all belongs to Chaz Mostert for the second time in his career.
He's got a new teammate, a co-driver this year in Fabian Coulthard, who's not on the grid full-time. It'll be interesting to see how they gel as a pairing, but I think it's safe to say that Walkinshaw Andretti United will have a fast car here this weekend, and we know that Chaz is always really good in the wet. But like I said, I think the weather actually makes it a more even playing field, and it's played in A number of other drivers that you might not have considered, David Reynolds being one of those. He's always really good in the wet, and I think at Grove Racing, they'll have a better wet car this weekend.
One thing that makes this race so special is the crowd. You know, it's basically a festival of motorsports up on that mountain. Is it going to be splendour in the grass, levels of mud? What's the atmosphere up there? What are the conditions like for the brave people camping out there?
You know what is so amazing about motorsport fans here in Australia is they are so passionate, and a little bit of rain or a lot of rain will not deter them from turning out this year in force to be part of what is a Stop the Nation Day in Australian sport. Can you believe, Pat? I mean, the weather up here in the central west of New South Wales has been absolutely awful for the last couple of weeks. The campsites are full. They're bursting at the seams. People have been making the annual pilgrimage here from about Monday. They love it. The rain will not deter them. And some of the setups that you see here around the campgrounds is absolutely phenomenal. People make this their annual holiday. They've been coming for 50 years. They've got the Barbie. They've got all the tents set up, caravans. The kids are riding their bikes. It is such an incredible atmosphere. There really isn't anything else like it in terms of a sporting event in Australia, and in fact the world. I don't know anywhere else that has anything quite like this. So it's amazing to have full capacity crowds back. For the last 2 years, they've been capped at about 10,000. So it really feels like the Bathurst 1000 is back in full force this year, and the weather is not going to dampen anyone's spirits.
We can't wait to get into gear. Jess Yates, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Pat.
Headlines. Australia's men's cricket team has narrowly knocked over the West Indies on the Gold Coast as they warm up for their T20 World Cup defence. The story of the night, though, was Aaron Finch. The skipper batted four. He made 58 from 53 deliveries. Here he is speaking to ABC Grandstand's Corbin Middlemass after the game.
So you've been under the pump, obviously, with what happened in the 50-over version of the game. You announced your retirement.
Yeah, of course. Retired, there's no more pressure at all, is there?
You're absolutely right on that front. But a lot of people sort of group the two white ball games together. This is actually your third half century in your past eight innings in T20 international cricket.
Yep.
How does that, I guess, make you feel knowing that you have now got numbers to probably support the way that you feel on how you've been going?
I think the last 12 years of numbers are pretty good as well.
Okay, then. Wayne Carey will face no charges over an incident at Crown Perth where he dropped a packet of white powder. The Kangaroos legend has maintained the substance was anti-inflammatory medicine. Police have closed their investigation. There are growing murmurs about who might replace Des Hasler as coach of Manly long term. He's contracted until the end of 2023. Former Bronco mentor Anthony Seibold and Sharks assistant Josh Hannay are considered front runners. It's all pretty murky right now. Who knows for sure who might lead the Seagulls next season? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Hey, Karen Tye and the team are back for Summer Grandstand. You can listen to it every weekend on ABC local radio from midday Melbourne time. They've also got a great podcast feed called The Best of ABC Sport. In the last week alone, it's featured interviews with Mark Leishman, Brad Scott, Nico Hines, Andrew McDonald. Go and give it a follow in the ABC Listen app. Plenty of great sports content. Thanks to Fox Sports and Supercars for the additional audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.